Like to again turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 2. Didn't finish the message this morning. We only got past the first point. We'd like to read the same verses that we read this morning in Genesis 2, verses 7 and 8. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Verse 15 through verse 17, and the Lord God took the man, put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Chapter 3, begin reading with verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to desire to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Again, the title of the message is, the Lord God called, where art thou? It is a question relating to position rather than location. We saw this morning, we stressed a forgotten truth. Again, Adam and Eve were husband and wife. It was Eve who took of the fruit. It was Eve that gave to her husband Adam to eat. We learned from 1 Timothy that it was Eve who first transgressed. Adam and Eve both fled from God, attempting to hide themselves. And when God called, he called unto Adam, not Eve. He called unto Adam. And we're not going to repeat everything from this morning, but again, that's a forgotten truth. It's a forgotten truth amongst God's people. But that leads us to what was going to be the second point of the message, and that is some truths that we can glean from that question, where art thou? Where art thou? In our text, Adam and Eve have rebelled against God. They have rebelled against their Creator. They have rebelled against the one who sustained them. They have done so deliberately. They have deliberately rebelled against the one who blessed them so freely and abundantly. They have sinned against the one with whom they had enjoyed communion and fellowship. And now they're trying to hide themselves. They're trying to hide their shame and their guilt. And they're trying to avoid God. Genesis 3, verse 8, they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. And they did so amongst the trees of the garden, the very trees that God blessed them with. They used those trees hide themselves from the presence of God. People have been doing the same thing ever since, hiding amongst the very blessings of the Lord. But there's Adam and Eve, and they want nothing to do with God, His presence, because of the guilt and the shame. They hid themselves again amongst the trees of the garden, using the very blessings of God to keep themselves from God. How many people do that? Use the very blessings of God to keep themselves from God. So there's Adam and Eve, guilty transgressors before God, wanting nothing to do with God, wanting nothing to do with His presence. And we read in verse 9, the Lord God called. That's an amazing statement. The Lord God called. The very one they have sinned against called. Adam and Eve opposed God. Adam and Eve have risen up against God as an enemy. They have defied God. They have defied the very word and the command of God. They've committed treason against God. They have violated the law of God. One law. And they broke it. They are criminals against God. They are now unrighteous. They are now ungodly, and they want nothing to do with the Lord. But the Lord God called. The Lord God called. Adam and Eve have acted against the person of God. Yet, the Lord God called. They have acted against His authority. They have acted against His goodness. God's been so good to them, given them everything. They've acted against His love, His grace, His mercy, His long-suffering, His wisdom. And the Lord God called. And the Lord God called. The truth is, Adam and Eve should have gone through the garden seeking God. But they didn't. Adam and Eve are trying to hide from God. But they should have gone through the garden crying, "We have sinned. We have sinned against Thee. We have taken of what You have forbidden. Oh God, where are You?" That's not what happened. It's not what happens today either. But the Lord God called. But instead of them going through the garden seeking God, they hid themselves. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. But in spite of that, the Lord God called. He knew where they were. But the Lord God called. The Lord God called. The situation reveals several things. First of all, it is a revelation of the amazing and wondrous patience of God. How long was it between when Adam and Eve partook of the fruit and God called? I don't know. You don't either. We tend to think it wasn't very long. But there was, whatever that time was, God exercised patience. We do know it was in the cool of the day when the cooling breeze blew. That phrase refers to the evening. But Adam and Eve at this time are guilty sinners against God. And the Lord God called. God had the power to strike Eve dead the very moment she took that fruit. But He didn't. He had the power to strike her dead before she gave it to Adam. And before Adam ate, He had the power to strike them both dead. And He had the right to do so. But that's not what He did. But He watched them disobey His law. And the Lord God called. There's patience. There's patience. It is also a revelation of God's care for the guilty. Adam and Eve have wronged God. Get a little tired, more than a little, of this person wronging this person and so on. What about God? What about God? God is wronged. And though God is the wrong party, the Lord God called. That's amazing. That speaks of God's care. Is it not also a revelation of God's amazing love for guilty sinners? Adam and Eve have selfishly and ungratefully sinned against God. Having done so, they are deserving of God's wrath. They are deserving of God's vengeance. But we read, the Lord God called. That's love. It's a revelation of God's amazing grace to the guilty. The Lord God called. All the free favor and unmerited goodness and kindness of God. Again, the Lord God called. You see in those words the stooping, unmerited favor of God. Those are wonderful words. The Lord God called. The question reveals God dealing with the sinner in salvation. In our text, Adam and Eve again have sinned against God. They are fleeing from God. They want nothing to do with God. They're trying to stay out of God's way. And God is seen seeking the sinner. God is seeking the sinner. Almost all the religious world begins with man seeking God. That's where almost all the religious world begins. But here we read, the Lord God called. God is seeking the sinner. And may I say, that's been the order ever since. We read in Romans 3 and verse 11, there's none that seeketh after God. It was God that sought Adam while Adam was a guilty sinner. Had God not done so, Adam and Eve would have never had their shame and guilt covered with those coats of skins. Would have never happened. And not God sought them. It was God who sought and called out Abram while he was an idolater. It was God who sought out Jacob at Bethel while he was fleeing from the consequences of his own wrongdoing. It was God who sought out Jacob. It was God who sought out Moses. While Moses was a fugitive in Midian, it was Christ who sought out the apostles so that he could say, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." And it was God who sought out me. And it was God who sought out you if you're saved. For you and I that are saved, it was God who sought us. We didn't first seek God. He sought us. And He sought us while we were in a horrific, vile, and unspeakable hole of sin. He sought us. He sought us while we were bound with the chains of sin. He sought us while we were living under the dominion of sin. And while we were living in the darkness of sin and under the condemnation of sin. I was just trying to stay away from God. I didn't want anything to do with God. But God sought out me. I would have never come looking for God. I would have forever remained in that hole of sin until I died. And then I would have been cast in the lake of fire. But it was God who sought me out while I was sinking in the loss and the misery and the sickness of sin. It was God who sought me out. And I heard Him say, "Where art thou?" It was God who sought us out while we were headed for and deserving of eternal destruction. Was God. What a wonderful and glorious truth. I don't see how any saved person can get upset about God seeking the sinner. That's something to rejoice in. God has the power. God has the right to destroy the sinner rather than seeking him. But the Lord God called. Why? Why did God call Adam? We saw some reasons this morning. He was holding Adam accountable. He still holds the head accountable. But why? Why did God say, "Where art thou?" Did He not do so with an intent? God does everything with intent. God has a purpose for everything He does. And did He not do so with the intent of rescuing them? Where art thou? He asked that question in order to rescue them, in order to deliver them, in order to recover them, in order to restore them. God sought out the sinner with the intent of rescuing, delivering, recovering, and restoring the sinner. That's grace. That's wonderful news. Did He not also come with that question to arouse their sense of shame and guilt? You see, before the sinner will cry out to God, they have to know they're guilty. They have to feel the shame of their sin. So when God called out, "Where art thou?" it was also with the intent to arouse their sense of shame and guilt, to convince them of sin, to convince them of what they have done. And all of that is in order to forgive them and to reconcile them to Himself and to redeem them. Every unsaved sinner is an enemy of God. And every one of us were once an enemy of God. We've been reconciled. And God sought us out to reconcile us. And that's why He's seeking out Adam and Eve here. And it sets a pattern for salvation. It's how God works. So all praise goes to God. There's no praise that goes to Adam. There's no praise that goes to Eve. All the praise goes to God. God sought them. They didn't seek God. And if God just left them, they would have never sought God. They would have died with those fig leaf aprons on. And let me tell you something. If you die with those fig leaf aprons, you have no covering for your unrighteousness. But He clothed them with coats of skins. Blood had to be shed to provide a covering for them. And this is why He sought them. Our third point, second tonight, but third point of the message, was simply to make application. We learned some things about God. We learned some things about God dealing with sinners. But the question asked by God is, where art thou? Again, notice verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam. We saw the reason for that this morning. Doesn't say He called unto Eve. He dealt with Eve. But He called unto Adam. And said unto him, where art thou? And as we pointed out this morning, it would have been grammatically correct to say the Lord God called unto Adam and said, where art thou? But He added unto him. It's emphasizing. It's a point of emphasis. My point is, it was a very personal question. Where art thou? It was a personal question asked to Adam with regard to his position relating to his wife Eve. More importantly, it's a question regarding his position relating to God. Adam, where art thou? Where art thou? You know, whoever does us wrong, whoever's fault it might be, we need to hear God asking us the question, where art thou? Where are you? God knows what they did. Where are you? It's an arousing question. And it's a question that requires an answer. Let's say a stranger called you this afternoon and said, they told you who they were, and they said, I know that Home Baptist Church is located at 8475 North Saginaw in Mount Morris. How do I get there? What would be the first question you would ask them? Where are you? It's pretty hard to tell them how to get here if you don't know where they are. That's the first thing you would ask them. Where are you? And what if they said, well, it doesn't matter where I am, I just need to know how to get there. Well, you can't really help them. In order to help them, you have to ask that question. And if they don't answer the question, you can't really help them. Well, where are you? Well, I'd rather not say. Well, if you want me to tell you how to get here, you're going to have to tell me where you are. And the reason that so many today are unable to be helped is because they will not answer that question. Where are you? God asks that question all the time. Where are you? And God's people refuse to answer it. They'll say, well, it doesn't matter where I am, but so-and-so's over here. So-and-so's not the issue. Where art thou? They will avoid that question. Where art thou? That question from God has a personal application to each one of us. Where art thou? Whatever your spiritual condition at this very moment, that question has application. That question comes from God. And that question needs to be answered. Where art thou? It is a question that may require some deep thought. If God comes and asks us, where are you? I'm not talking about our location, but our position. Where are you? Well, that question may require some thought. May require some personal examination. But it's a question that requires an honest answer. Where art thou? Again, it's a question relating to position. Most importantly, our position with regards to the Lord in spiritual matters. Where art thou? It has application to each one of us that are saved. We that are saved need to hear the question. We need to hear the question coming from God. Coming from the one who loved us with an everlasting love. Coming from the one who chose us from before the foundation of the world. Coming from the one who sent his Son to live out a perfect righteousness on our behalf. Coming for the one who went to pay a sin debt that we could not pay. It's a question that comes from the one who came where we were and broke the holding and binding power of sin. It's a question that comes from the one who raised us up from a spiritual grave and brought and lifted us up from under the terrible and crushing weight of sin. It's a question that comes from the one who delivered us and freed us from the hand of divine justice, causing us to pass from death unto life. He's the one who asked the question, where art thou? Carefully consider the question, where art thou? Where art thou in relation to the Lord? Well, so-and-so did such, that's not the question. The question is not what did so-and-so do, the question is where are you? That's the question. Don't answer a question that has not been asked. Answer the question that's been asked. Where art thou? Where are you? Where are you in relation to the one who loved and saved your hell-deserving soul? Where are you? It is a probing question. It is a question that demands, again, an honest answer. Are we near to the one who saved our soul? Or are we far away? Where art thou? It's a question that requires an answer without an explanation. You and I are to be focused. We're to be fascinated. We're to be enthralled. We're to be absorbed with God and the matters of God. Where art thou? Well, I would be more so if That's not the question. The question is, where art thou? Where art thou in relation to this? How much of God is in our lives? Where art thou? How much of God is in our interests? Well, I come to church on Sundays. Is that it? That's not very much. Where art thou? How much of God is in our ways? How much of God is in our feelings? How much of God is in our moods? How much of God is in our viewpoints, in our pursuits, our goals, our choices, our plans? Where art thou in relation to the Lord? How much of God is in our attitudes? Where are we? How much of God is in our marriage? Well, it's her fault. It's his fault. That's not the question. Where are you? Where are you? How much of God is in our homes? Where art thou? Where are you in your spirit and attitude toward God? Where are you in your spirit and attitude toward this book? Where are you in your spirit and attitude toward God's house? Where art thou? That's a legitimate question coming from God. Where are you in relation to excitement and passion toward spiritual things? You got to be somewhere. Where art thou? What is the direction? What is the course of your heart? Where art thou and where are you going? What is the direction and course of your mind? Where art thou? Well, I'm sitting in Home Baptist Church. That's really not the question. The question has more to do with position. Yeah, you may be sitting in Home Baptist Church, but what is the direction and course of your mind? Where art thou? I believe as we sit in church many times, God asks us, if we listen, where are you? And he doesn't want to hear at Home Baptist Church. That's not the question. Where are you? Adam could have said, we're hiding amongst the trees. Well, the question's much deeper than that. What is the direction and course of our faith? Where are we as it relates to faith? What is direction and course concerning your relationship with the Lord? With regards to the world. Again, the question can be asked concerning innumerable things. Where art thou? We are to be surrendered to God. We are exhorted in Romans 12:1, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. We are to be entirely committed to God. We are to acknowledge and bow to God's right and claim upon our entire life. We are to be set apart and reserved for God. And this is to be readily, cheerfully, voluntarily, and continually. We're to let go. We're to relinquish all claim upon our lives. We're to recognize that nothing in our lives is to be off limits to God. Nothing. Our lives are to be sacred unto God. So with regard to those matters, where art thou? Where art thou? We're to serve God with our lives. We are to plan to serve God in all matters, in all aspects of our life. We're to walk with God. We're to please God. We're to stand with God. We're to stand for God. We're to be actively engaged and occupied in the business of the Lord. We're to glorify and show forth God with our lives. The question with regard to those things is, where art thou? Where art thou? We need to hear the question. We need to hear the question coming directly from God. And we need to ponder. And we need to answer the question. Not like Adam. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid. Well, Adam, that's not the real reason you were afraid. You were afraid because you transgressed against God. He'd never been afraid of God before. Because I was naked and I hid myself. Why are you naked? Why do you know you're naked? Why are you hiding yourself? And then, of course, God addresses the fact that he had partaken of the forbidden tree. God tells him, Adam, you've sinned. And the man said, the woman, which thou gavest to be with me, she gave me. Now, Adam's doing two things there. He's blaming God. And he's blaming his wife. And we spoke enough on that this morning. But he didn't answer the question, where art thou? Adam should have said, I have sinned. I partook of the forbidden fruit. I repent. That's what Adam should have said. But instead, he cast blame. And when you play the blame game, and people are good at it, it's the number one sport for God's people, the blame game. They like to participate in it. It will do you no spiritual good whatsoever. None. The question is, where art thou? So there's application to each one of us as saved people. Then, of course, there's application to the unsaved. The unsaved sinner needs to come to grips with where they are, with who they are. And I pray for every unsaved sinner that you would hear God put the question directly to you. Where art thou? Where art thou? And that you would truly see where you are. Let me tell you where you are. You're estranged from God. You're far from God. You're without God. You're without Christ. And you're living, while you are estranged from God and without Christ, you're living your life under the dominion of Satan. You're living your life in the realm and under the power of darkness. That's where you are. And you're deceived. And you're blind. And you're hardened. And you're at enmity with God. You're a criminal against God. A rejecter of God. A resister of God. We're not Adam and Eve trying to resist God. It's exactly what they were doing. But aren't you glad when God comes, you can't resist? You're unrighteous. You're ungodly. You're bankrupt. Adam and Eve had nothing to offer unto God. If you're here and unsaved, you have nothing to offer unto God. You're lost. And you're fleeing from God. Where art thou? You're helplessly trapped under the weight of sin. You're stuck in the filth and the condemnation of sin. Securely held by the chains and shackles. So securely held that you cannot possibly escape on your own. Oh, I pray that you would see where you are as an unsaved sinner, and that you would cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You see, that's why God asked the question to the unsaved sinner. That's why God came seeking us. You and I that are saved, He came seeking us, and He asked that question to bring us to the point to realize that I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I'm guilty before God, and I have nothing to offer unto Him. I have no excuse. I have no argument. I'm guilty. There's no explanation. I'm guilty. God causes us to feel that. The result is we cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So whether saved or unsaved, we all need to hear and answer that question. Where art thou? I'm glad that God comes and asks that question often. Often. I can get very upset with people, with things. But God has a way of coming and says, don't worry about that. Where are you? Where are you? And that's what matters. Where are you? Well, do you know what they said? It doesn't really matter. Where are you? You know what they did? And God says, where are you? I'll take care of that. Where are you? We all need to hear that question. We need to hear it often. And again, if you're here and unsaved, I pray that God, Jesus Christ came to seek and save that which was lost. Those He seeks, He saves. He sought Adam and Eve. He saved them. And I pray that God seeks your soul, causing you to hear that question, where art thou? And God would open your eyes, cause you to see your need of Christ. How thankful we are for that question. Brother Larry, if you'd